Hey guys, coming up, we have a New York Comedy Festival show. It's called Culture War, and I Don't Think So Honey Deathmatch. Team Matt versus Team Bowen. 10 people on each team fighting hard to see who can give the most amazing I Don't Think So Honeys. It's on November 7th. That's a Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. again for New York Comedy Festival. Tickets are available right now.
And then at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival on November 18th at 10 p.m., we have our third installment of I Don't Think So Honey live at the Bell House. We're so excited to finally perform there with a brand new roster of 50 comedians doing their amazing inaugural I Don't Think So Honeys live for a rabid crowd. We can't wait. See you there.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Let me tell you all, Matt Rogers, my co-host, is currently straddling the back of his chair.
And like, what about it?
Like a fucking Backstreet Boy or the Spice Girls in their live in Istanbul show.
Performing naked?
Naked, yes, you know
I'm
what I'm talking
so
about?
I'm so happy that you did that.
Oh my God.
Because I remember I had the VHS tape of the Spice Girls concert, and there's one, they're naked. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen the Spice Girls tour VHS, but they are naked, singing naked.
And like the chairs, the backs of the chairs are covering their
and
areola.
At one point, Jerry, who you know was the fastest of all of them, rises out of her chair a little bit, and the amount of like
areola.
You don't see any areola.
You see the vagina?
No, you see almost the areola.
Okay.
And I feel like that, for me, even as a confused
first of all, just
boy,
a racy, crazy thing to see as a 7-year-old.
Racy.
Racy.
Is one word for it, for sure. You know, that reminds me of the time when I saw the trailer for Moulin Rouge the first time, and I turned to my mom and I said, I want to see that. And she said, no, no, that looks racy.
Katrina. She was right. It was a racy film.
But listen, what I'm sitting like this because I feel it's more comfortable for me, but the jury's out on that because I've been sitting only like this for a brief
seconds. Do you want me to like stall and fill in the time as you readjust or no?
Because you know what you can do? You know what I trust you to do while I readjust?
What?
Give the credits.
Yeah, give the credits. Okay, but I will give the credits. Guys, this is Las Culturistas history. This is our first return guest on a recorded episode. So Pat Regan famously is our, on a weird technicality, our first return guest, but this is our first return guest with a prior recorded episode.
To make it to air.
To make it to air. So guys,
as Beyonce would say, this is a pivotal moment.
As Beyonce would say, famously.
You ever listen to the B-Day album and you listen to Resentment? And then you let Resentment play through, and there's a pause
all the time,
and then it's a Beyonce spoken word intro to Listen, and she says, "I really wanted to do this next song, which I wrote for the film Dreamgirls, which AKA we know she did not fully write that song."
Okay, but anyway,
and she says, "This song is, well, it's a pivotal moment in the film," and it's just like she's reading off some cards.
I mean. That's fine. That's fine.
It's totally fine. I was just quoting.
Okay.
Now do your job.
So here are the credits, babe, as Matt readjusts his unsustainable posture on his chair. You guys, this is a true blue culturista. He's one of our closest friends. You will have just seen his half hour on Comedy Central. Fucking slayed the house down boots. Also, his album is coming out, Model Minority. It is so good. We were at both live recordings, baby.
Yes.
And he killed both recordings. Honestly, excited to see which cuts made it from either night.
I definitely was watching both nights saying, I wonder which cut.
Me too, me too.
And I feel like no matter what,
yes,
people would be very satisfied.
Very satisfied. And God, he's just otherwise prolific. You've seen him on Conan.
And you will see him on Conan.
And you will see him on Conan, and you've seen him on Comedy Knockout. The list goes on. Guys, please welcome our friend, Joel Kim Booster.
Oh, this is thrilling.
Okay.
To be the first. That's right, Pat Regan, the first return guest.
Now, Pat holds a real place in Las Culturistas, I guess, not fandom, what would you call it?
Canon.
The canon.
Yeah.
As, you know, the Icon Award
the original,
winner.
The third co-host of Lost Culturistas.
What, did I ever, I will spill tea right now.
No, don't do
I
this.
I will spill the tea here, and the tea will burn through the ground. It's so hot.
Oh, no.
Don't.
One time, Bowen said to me, well, maybe we should get a third co-host.
No, I did not phrase it
and
that
I
way.
And I said, how dare you? I said, and he said, I just feel like you could be better. He never said
oh
that.
My God.
But he did. He did. He.
I
would
floated
go
the idea by you. I said, hey, just a wild idea. What if we got a third co-host? Like, what if?
I couldn't believe.
And I was like, because I'm listening to this Pat episode and it's so fun. And like maybe every now and then.
I can't imagine. You wouldn't
me
be
neither.
Able. You wouldn't be able to have. I love Pat. I think Pat is one of the most underrated comedians in the community.
Yes, yes,
I agree
yes,
with
agree.
You.
I think the industry needs to take note of Pat Regan. But. I can't imagine. It would be a three-person podcast every time. there would be room. There wouldn't be room
wouldn't
for
be
someone
room.
Beyond Pat.
Literally, there wouldn't be room at this table. We've said so many times it's a small table.
It's
HPJ,
a very small
get us
table.
A bigger table. I mean, we need a bigger
you're
table.
On a, you're a Time Out Best Podcast Award winner.
Award.
Come on.
Okay, but also, a lot of things have changed since I made that statement because...
Bowen is currently
uh-oh.
Pulling up Pat Regan's Insta story?
Pat, yeah. No, not an Insta story. Pat Regan sent me this menacing bullying video in reference to our upcoming show, Culture, as part of the New York Comedy Festival.
Which we can announce right now.
Yes.
That we're sitting with one of the judges.
One of the judges of Culture. He and I have had some antagonism going on in the last few days,
well,
I will say.
I wouldn't say it was an antagonism for me. I think you came for me on a Facebook post, which was not a smart strategy. Come for a judge online.
You initiated this antagonism.
I didn't. I just, I
after
merely
the
was
teams,
saying.
The team rosters went out. You said, wow. A lot of heavy hitters on Matt's team. Someone's feeling confident.
Yes, and I would
seems
say
pretty fair to me.
No, I would
you
say that is
a
pretty
team.
Neutral. No, I didn't say anything
you
about the quality of your
team.
I didn't say a goddamn thing about your team. I didn't
you
say.
You implied. You tacitly
no.
said that my team had
listen,
weaker players.
If you want to project that onto my comment, if you want to project ill intent onto me, one of your closest friends. Then that's your decision.
That's
also,
your prerogative.
Also a judge. I don't know. Bitch, I don't know if you're jet lagged or what.
Okay.
But this is
this.
Outrageous.
No, this is him all the time.
I don't know about this. Well, the point
he's
is.
He's a sensationalist.
I want to play this video, this very menacing bullying video, honestly, and I will post. By the time this episode releases,
oh
I'm
God.
Sure this will make it online.
Yeah, this you got to hear this.
So,
Pat is really in rare form.
Oh, so I should preface this by saying that the way that our teams were chosen was Matt and I, at the same time, I was at the airport in Brisbane, and Matt was God knows where. But we arranged a time for us to send each other.
Matt was God
probably
knows
on
where.
Some street corner in yeah. Prospect Park.
Hooking and looking.
And we arranged a time for us to send our picks at the same time, so no one like
I believe
would,
it was 2:30 p.m.
And for me, that was like you know
another
eight
time.
Hours ahead, what?
Something like that. And then any overlaps, any conflicting, any members we both wanted, we would have to fight over or flip a coin over. Or
yes,
whatever. And so
no, we would debate.
We would debate, and I knew that Matt would have his picks, and so I wanted to have as frictionless of a list exchange as possible. So. With that in mind, here is Pat's video that he sent me.
Well. I know I wasn't on your list for Culture War. Don't try to lie, bitch. Raj told me everything. And now, I'm going to make you suffer.
So,
I'm so proud.
No, he's a bully, guys. We
I haven't heard a peep out of any of the delicate flowers on Bowen's.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you something. They're being really aggressive.
Amanda Duarte
is being really aggressive.
No, praise be. She is doing everything right.
I don't know.
And she...
I call foul play when she shared... Foul play when she shared Nicole Silverberg's post.
Amazing post.
And said how... Could Matt's team even show up when Bowen's team is out here doing good work in the world? I feel it's an appropriation of Nicole.
Oh.
I feel she appropriated.
She can't. You can't appropriate your own allies, honey.
You can.
Yeah,
you can.
I don't know about that.
Maybe my language is off, but I know my heart.
Okay, you know your heart.
Then put that on my tombstone.
That is a. This is a Real Housewives defense if I have ever heard one. There is no argument that you can come up against that.
I don't know my words, but I know my heart. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Put it on my tombstone, I'm telling you.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know my words, but
recently,
I know my heart.
Recently on Real Housewives of Dallas season 2, which is a must see for even an uninitiated Real Housewives fan.
Yeah.
It is an amazing show season. You've got everything. You've got a woman who wants to start a pink dog food company, the evil head of a cosmetics company. Everyone's marriage is failing. And there are two former best friends, much like Bowen and Matt, on the off season, in between the first and the second season, one of the friends wrote about the other friend's marriage that it was like watching a car crash happen in slow motion,
which and is hackneyed and
in cliche. on her like Bravo affiliated blog. And then the other friend, so that we come into this season, the friends are feuding, and the one friend who wrote that on her blog doesn't know why her friend is mad at her. And so they have, early in the season, a confrontation about it. And her defense of writing this about her best friend's marriage is, well, that was just on my blog. That was just something
she
I wrote
can't
on
be
a.
Held
that's just something
now.
I wrote on a blog, which I think is very Rodgian.
Yeah. Very Rodgian. I mean,
that's just in my heart. That's just
when
not,
you're drowning.
Those aren't my words. That's my heart.
When you're drowning, you don't fight to the surface politely.
That is
what. What are you drowning in?
Unending fount of fucking nonsense over here.
When you're drowning, you don't be polite.
Guys, Matt is in a place right now where he wants to like come up with these platitudes.
But the thing is you can't argue with it.
No,
but
because,
we don't know what it
means. Because well, I know that if I were drowning, I would not want to be polite.
Exactly. And so refute
I don't
it.
Know I don't know what application that has to a conversation.
Being polite is not an alternative. Like being rude, whatever, you guys.
You have no idea how to even. Let's just walk it back.
Okay.
There was a show called Battle of the Divas. Okay?
Yep.
Hosted by Matteo Landon and Christy Cello.
It
has everything to do with this.
The thing I've always admired about this podcast, it is so alienating to viewers
yes.
who don't live in New York. And
yet, no, it's not.
And people love it. People love constantly. Both of you will be like, and then one day Amanda said blah, 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 blah. And I, as a listener, know who you're talking about.
HTJ.
But you have a gigantic following. You are a unequivocally a very successful podcast, and I would guess that 90% of the people who listen don't know who 90% of the
absolutely.
People you're talking about.
That's not true.
Absolutely.
They, Culturistas, hear my call. I know that you're all out there. I know with you're out there with your Googles out, searching. And here's what I'll say. Look for these names, these trash names. Amanda Duarte, Nicole Silverberg.
Don't.
That wasn't even the Amanda that I was referencing that you mentioned. But
who was your
Amanda? Amanda Schachtman?
Yeah.
People know her.
People know Amanda.
They know her because we referenced her several times.
Okay. Amazing.
But I would say there's a list of 10 people under Team Bowen, and that's trash.
Okay, well, anyway.
Now, what I was saying was you don't know what it means to truly fight.
Oh, my God.
Team Bowen, just understand that your leader, he lost to me at Battle of the Divas when I was repping Christina Aguilera and you were repping Britney Spears because you tried to play the quote-unquote right way. Well, I will win no matter what.
I will do no matter what.
I see that.
You know what that makes you, Matt?
What?
You know what that makes me, first and foremost?
Hillary Clinton?
And it makes you the monster who smashed the political machine.
Don't.
Valentina.
I'm Hillary and you're Valentina.
What I'm saying to all my fans out there is, why don't you visit the Instagram pages of Bowen and everyone on his team and just show them a little bit of love by posting a rose?
Oh my God.
You will be rose attacked.
On the day of Selena's birthday of all days.
Is that what today is?
Today is Selena's.
We're recording on.
We're recording on Selena's birthday. Anyway.
Quintanilla?
Quintanilla.
Oh, please don't.
Don't do that.
please don't.
I just want to say that, first of all, at that very show, and we have to bring Joel into this at some point, but...
He's in it.
He's in it. But I will say again, I've said this on the podcast before, you ad hominem attacked me so hard. You called me old when you are older than I am. You said both Britney Spears and I are stupid and old. Like, those, that was your argument. That was your main argument.
And I don't think you have any way to prove any of this.
For that to have been an effective strategy is Trumpian and Valentinian and Rogian. Rogian.
Yeah.
And you know what? Wait, hold on. Is Dallas the one where in a recent episode, like, they were on a beach and then one of the housewives thought it'd be funny to put a dildo?
Yes, this is Dallas.
They're all awful. They're all so terrible.
No, I actually think that there's one that was born, was abandoned at a carnival and grew up as a carny.
No, she's the Roxy Andrews of the
Housewives.
Oh my God,
it is. And she does bring it up at every possible, like, to get out of any situation, it is her trump card, and it is amazing to see.
I would do that.
I would too. The woman who wants to start the pink dog food, also, her, like, angle, her narrative, and all the women say this about her, is that she's very smart, but she plays dumb. And I don't think that's true. They have them. There's a honest tea party that they have.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Where they each put in an anonymous question about one of the other girls into a teapot, mm-hmm. to, like, sort of get all the tea out in the open
and
address
it. Is it sponsored by Honest Tea?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think no one thought this. And this girl, the girl who wanted to start the Pink Dog Food Company, one of the questions she put in, and everyone's saying, like, why did you say this about Stephanie behind your back? Why did you say DeAndra can't come into your house, et cetera, et cetera? And then they get to one, and it just says, what's your favorite vacation destination? and this girl is like, yeah, I didn't know what we were doing here.
Like, that's amazing.
Or actually, she is very smart by doing something so innocuous, putting something in that's so innocuous.
The thing is she's so stupid that she is on a different level, so it is hard to tell.
It's a very January Jones thing. It's like, is she a good actress or is she so bad that she seems good?
Does it come around full circle?
Totally.
Sudi made me watch a couple episodes of New Jersey the other day, and have you been watching New Jersey?
Not the new season. Not
okay,
yet.
Because there was the huge conflict about one of them baked a cake for another one, and I think it was like Teresa or someone else took the cake and threw the cake in the restaurant. And the argument was the girl who made the cake and gifted it to the girl was upset because she felt she was disrespected, and also they disrespected the restaurant in her quote unquote town. This was her town. But the girls who threw the cake, whose birthday it was, said, well, it's my cake, I should be able to do what I want with it. Which sounds
very Rajin. Again, sounds exactly like something what you would do, I think, with a cake.
I wouldn't throw the cake. I would say something like, well, it's my cake.
I can do what I want with it.
So you can do what you want with it.
But I wouldn't throw it, trust.
Because
I have respect for restaurant employees.
Wasn't there one housewife in one city who, like, was too classy to be on the show? Do you know Jason?
There's at least one on every season, on every franchise. Like,
yeah.
Carol Radziwill is a fucking Kennedy, and yeah, she's on the show.
See, I'm going to say this. It's very Rajian. Like, Matt is Rajian.
This is out of control.
In the Housewives world, Matt is the Teresa. I know they're different franchises, they're different cities, but I'm the Carol. I am the Kennedy,
yeah,
and Matt is like the New Jersey housewife who throws the cake.
To put things in New York terms, I think Matt is the Ramona, you are the Carol, and I am the Bethany.
And
I have so many problems.
I don't even watch the shows. I don't even watch, and I'm sorry. I'm not saying that as like a...
I'm not the Carol, because Carol is untouchable because she's always right, and you are not.
Oh my God.
You have some flaws.
Okay. All right.
You are Countess Luann.
And this makes Joel the Andy Cohen of everything, because he is just watching idly.
I want to say something.
Okay. This is your podcast.
If I'm Christina and you're Brittany, who is Joel? Jessica?
No. Mandy.
No.
Mandy.
Mandy, because, yeah, he can keep the career going.
Is that what we're saying about it? Is that Mandy's claim to fame in all of this?
Is that Mandy? Yeah.
She kept the career.
Yeah,
she kept
a very stable, consistent
career.
But that is hard.
That is a hard plate to spin.
I will say that I believe that for Joel.
No, you're saying that I'm going to have about a decade of a dip.
No.
She never had a dip.
She never dipped, honey. She never dipped.
Because even in that quote-unquote dip, she was turning it on Grey's Anatomy.
Here's the timeline.
See, I'm not familiar.
Music, Walk to Remember, How to Deal, Saved. And then did Grey's Anatomy, then right into Tangled.
I did not know that she was on Grey's.
She did two episodes.
No, she did more than two.
No, she was in the...
She was in the shooting episode.
She was in the one supersized shooting episode.
Oh, God.
And then she came back during the documentary episode.
Oh,
and then
yes.
At the end, it's revealed that she dies.
It was very sad.
And it's like an emotional moment for
her.
And
now she's doing Sally Field drag on the regular on This Is Us.
She is doing Sally Field drag.
I don't want to watch that show.
No way.
I refuse. And I really like Parenthood, which is sort of its spiritual predecessor on NBC. I really loved that show, but I just can't do emotion porn right now. I feel like the world is too sad. I don't need that kind of entertainment in my life. That's why I'm watching fucking Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. So
no, honestly, I've been obsessed with Project Runway.
Oh, yes. So I have missed a lot while I've been gone. First of all, we have not addressed that I've been away. And we'll talk about this later, but I want to talk about our media diets right now, specifically Joel's. He's the guest, after all.
Yeah.
But Joel, I feel like, has a very wide breadth of... He has a very sophisticated palette in his media
diet.
I don't know.
This bitch is posting all the time on Real Housewives Facebook
group.
I don't think he watches anything else.
No, but I think he watches a lot of... Okay, let's let Joel speak for yourself.
Well, I think I do have, generally throughout the year, a pretty good diet. But right now, you know, as Bowen was involved in this project, I've been developing a show for a cable network that is as yet undisclosed. And and I find, as I've been writing this show, it's very difficult for me to watch regular narrative television.
Totally.
So I've been watching a lot of Real Housewives, a lot of American Ninja Warrior.
Oh.
Wow, haven't dipped my toe in that.
It's
any gays?
Inspiring.
Any gays yet?
I don't think any... They haven't shouted it out as much as you would think. Some of the women, it seems clear, but...
Right.
And some of the men, it seems
they
less
must
clear.
Be. Some of them
there must
be.
Yeah, I think there have been at least one that I'm aware of. And then a lot of them, I dived into Will and Grace.
I saw the first...
And
what do you guys think?
I haven't seen the new. I've been putting on the old one in the background, and I started... And I gotta say, as I began, I thought this show benefited from being unavailable for so many years because I did not think it held up as well as I wanted it to in my brain. And there's two... And I'll say one more thing. I'm now in the final season, and I actually think it gets much better... I think
really?
It's flipped. I think unlike most sitcoms of that ilk, like Frasier and Friends and things like that, I think it actually gets much better because it gets more absurd and less tethered to reality. And I think the other reason I think it doesn't hold up quite as much as I wanted it to is because I think so much of it was so formative in informing my own comedic sensibilities that it felt old hat. Like I watched the episode real early on where... Jack meets Cher, it wasn't as funny as I remembered it being, only because it was so ingrained in my like Jack's impression of Cher became all
iconic.
Of our impressions of
Cher,
and so I think like it just didn't hit me as hard.
Sure,
but I'll say like as much as some of it just does not, I think it's a lot broader than even I think Friends or Frasier was
right
at the time. Sean Hayes does some incredible. Work on that.
He's
show.
Incredible.
He's amazing.
And he's continued to do it in like the I guess new iteration
it's
of it.
It's so theatrical. And yeah, and people talk about Karen who is amazing as well.
Uh-huh,
I think
uh-huh.
Megan Mullally is incredible in that show. But Sean Hayes is so like the stuff that they put on television of him doing is so outrageous to me. Like even watching it now,
they let a femme gay guy do like fucking backflips and shit. Like he like
there's a scene where he pretends to be pushing through a crowd as he's escaping a scene of a breakup, and it is and it's
like
the guy from
amazing physical comedian,
physical comedian.
Yeah. Louis Vertel referred to it as Chaplin-esque.
It really is, and I think I encourage everybody who even though I agree, I'm not sure. We needed Will and Grace back.
It makes me feel very anxious that we have it back.
You know what I think it is though? I think it's a little litmus test for a Friends reunion. No?
Really?
I thought you were gonna say something else.
I thought you were gonna say like it feels I know they started the wheels turning back when it didn't feel like Trump was gonna be president.
Yeah.
But it just feels like this way to be back in 1999. Or 2000,
yeah,
like
it is,
which is like crazy to me.
I do feel like we're hitting the nostalgia like cycle of like, well, how did things feel back in the late 90s when everything felt sort of post everything and all right? Like, because now, do you see the slate of jukebox musicals that are coming out? That's now a
wait,
fad that's
no,
about
wait,
to
what
Cher.
Jimmy Buffett. One. Oh, right.
I just saw a list. Somebody listed the ones that are coming down the pike, and there's like eight that are in development right now. And that's like, that I feel like was a product of that same time period, too. I feel like, as the alt-right is sort of reviving all of these things that died in the past, now we're the like liberal response is we're doing the only thing we can, jukebox musicals and Will and Grace and multicam sitcoms.
I have been like pleasantly surprised by Will and Grace, though. Like
the reiteration
I've heard
of
that.
It.
I've heard that. I just haven't had the strength yet to visit it.
I totally get that. I've watched the first two.
Oh, I couldn't get past the first 5 minutes of the first episode where it's like they talk about.
They definitely. It was a pretty hacky start to the episode, I thought, because it was like, we have to justify why none of the last season matters, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
or it's
kind of toss out the last three episodes.
Or like, what? Like, they just like were throwing slang around, and it was just like, oh, no.
His first line is like, oh, grinder.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I think my one takeaway now that I'm getting from Will and Grace is that Vince is the best gay boyfriend I think we've ever had on television.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
On any gay-focused media, I think Vince is the best one. And he colonized my brain, I think, and my taste. Because I was thinking recently about like what I really want and what my type, because people will ask me what my type is. And I think my type is one of two, on two spectrums. One, it's either give me a swarthy Middle Eastern Italian Mediterranean man in a full Adidas tracksuit who grew up in Queens, or give me a corn-fed Midwestern boy who is a golden retriever turned into a boy.
Yeah, you know, like
100%. That is those two.
That's sweet.
Things.
Well, I dated one of those, and so maybe I'll try the other thing.
Same. I think we both had at the time we were like we're dating sort of the same thing right now, and it felt right, but. Let's find our tracksuits.
Let's find our tracksuits, break them out. Honestly, you know what? Maybe that is next.
Vince is one of our best gay boyfriends, and I will say, just to bring this back to Britney, one of the best pop star guest star appearances on a sitcom.
She was pretty fucking.
She was really fucking
that.
Funny.
I'm right around the corner from that guest star.
She was surprisingly funny. This was like right before 2007, right before the breakdown, and she like at the time was like turning out the comedy performances, and like this was back when you're like, oh yeah, she like had a really good SNL episode, and
really
then,
good,
and but she, and then she like plays a fucking lesbian talk show host, like a super conservative talk show host who turns out to be a lesbian, and it was just
you
so
know
funny.
That's what I think peak TV is. We've lost in the mix of peak TV is shows like Will and Grace and Friends and Frasier were guest star machines.
Brad Pitt,
like every episode Friends? Just
Julia
had like
Roberts
a random like star Ethan Embry, like all these Ethan Embry, like you know those big name stars, like
truly
Ethan
random
Embry.
Star Ethan Embry. No,
but like like truly every episode of Will and Grace, like one of the boyfriends or one, like you know every what show
Paul
is like
Rudd.
That now?
Yeah,
yeah.
There
honestly, you know. Not that many, and I'm thinking
because even on the multicams that exist,
30 Rock
that
was,
are still
30 Rock
might have
ones.
Been the last big one. Yeah. But like even if you think about the CBS multicam sitcoms that are sort of keeping that tradition alive, they're not doing that.
No.
There's not
You're
big
right.
guest stars on Big Bang or Two Broke Girls or any of that.
I think that's because really big stars know they don't have to do
that,
and they don't want to because it's embarrassing because the quality of the shows.
Yeah,
so
because at that time networks were still. A powerful force of
exactly
you know, there are eyes on
and also things. You can watch any of those NBC must see TV shows and like actually laugh at them if you have taste, you know what I mean, like
right.
CBS shows, like they're, you know,
they're working real hard on young Sheldon. They're working. They're trying.
Have you tried to watch it?
I watched a couple up or an ep. I recently covered myself in shredded mozzarella cheese, got so high, just eating out of a bag, straight laying prostrate on my back on my bed, eating out of a bag of shredded mozzarella, covering myself in it, and watched The Good Doctor and Young Sheldon just as a sort of turning off my brain. I was deeply depressed. You're catching me as I'm entering a manic phase, so that's a good for a
Ooh,
podcast
fun.
Recording.
Yeah.
But that moment, And I'll say, Young Sheldon, the mom, there is, if it weren't connected, the problem with Young Sheldon
is that a spinoff. A prequel. It's a spinoff.
Because the thing is there are some actually really lovely moments. Annie Potts is on it.
Oh.
Like, yeah, she plays the grandmother. The mother is actually really there are wonderful moments with her, like, doing these wonderful mom moments where she's, like, advocating for her kid who's clearly on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And yet, you know that this kid grows up to be an asshole who has no sense of joy. And so you're like, oh, well, we know where this is going. It's sad. Because, like, if the story was sort of about, like, how does this crotchety, like, lame kid sort of grow up to be something better than what he is now, it would be something sort of nice and beautiful to watch. But it, as it stands, because we know he turns into Jim Parsons, it's like, why am I watching?
I don't know, Joel. We don't know how Big Bang Theory ends.
Maybe he'll turn around.
Redeem himself.
But that's not going to do anything for Young Sheldon.
I'm kidding.
Will say, watch The Good Doctor, though, because it is good. Turn your brain. Wait until there are 11 episodes to watch and you have the flu, and watch some Good Doctor.
Wait, seriously? It's actually good?
I mean, it's the guy who created House, so it's incredibly consumable and watchable.
Yeah.
And, like, sort of comforting in
its digestibility.
In the formula of, you know, I think House is so watchable just because it's like, you gotta find that mystery that network television is good at creating.
The premise is he's autistic?
Basically. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, yeah, I'd watch that.
I don't love that kid.
The doctor?
Freddie Highmore.
I don't know, something about him.
What,
like,
was he on?
He was in Finding Neverland. He was in movies. And then he also was in, I don't know.
I think you're missing the marquee role of this.
Which is what? Oh, you're saying, like, we still don't know who this person is.
Yeah, I feel like I'm
I don't think
for
I don't think
it.
People are saying Freddie Highmore and connecting him to Finding Neverland.
I think they are.
Should we search?
Yeah, can someone
you search?
Okay.
Bates Motel. That's it.
Bates Motel.
Most recent. He played Norman Bates in the Bates Motel. That's
yes, of course. And so, is that show over?
Yes. So, R.I.P. Vera's career.
Vera. That's a sad story because, like, Vera's so good.
She is.
Fantastic. She's fantastic.
Vera's so good, and, you know, she's probably one of those actresses that's like, okay, we have our list of 20, and at 16 is Vera.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, number 3 says yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you do if you're 4 through 15? Yeah.
And then Carrie Coon is waiting patiently. I think actually Carrie Coon's maybe eclipsed Vera now.
I think so. Yeah. She's more of the moment.
Yeah, she's of the moment. Oh, she's so fucking good.
Carrie Coon, I feel like, is the Sarah Paulson right now.
Yeah.
The television actress that becomes a huge fucking deal because she just keeps showing how fucking good she is.
I just saw Carrie Coon in a play here, Mary Jane, in New York, and it is one of the most devastating performances I have ever seen. Understated.
Oh, yeah, you described this. You said she gave a line reading.
There's a line reading at the end of the first act of Mary Jane that it sent shock. Here's my thing about theater right now is I don't need to see another dramatic realism play. I find that boring. Like, don't show me someone chopping vegetables stage. Like, that's what television and movies are for. That's what I feel anyways. And this play is very much that. It's very much like you're watching her fold laundry, you know, and that's like a moment. But I'll watch Carrie Coon do that because she sells it in such a way that is remarkable.
What is the line?
The line... It won't make sense outside
of context. I don't think...
The line is... Honey, why are you sorry?
Ah,
sweetie, why are you sorry?
I have no idea what it means, but it's still
and it's there's layers because she's not crying, but she is crying, and she's comforting, and she's terrified.
What?
It's Carrie. Only an actress of Carrie Coon's caliber could pull that off. Watch
I don't
the
know if I can get over that her name is Carrie Coon.
I know. I don't want to say her name.
Carrie Coon.
That's just a bad name.
It does sound like an early Amy Adams role, doesn't it?
it's her character's name in Junebug. It's Junebug. Okay, so...
Alternative Us has to tell you a little something, so we're going to take a break and come right back with Bull Jim Cooster.
Ooh, Matt, I think I sense a chill in the air.
Yes, well, if you thought that chill was the fall, the autumn... I have to say it's not.
Oh,
it's a chill between you and I.
Ooh.
That's because we are going head-to-head, people, at Culch War. It's our show for New York Comedy Festival, and it's an I Don't Think So, Honey death match.
Team Matt and Team Bowen are going to have their own teams of 10 comedians facing off head-to-head in many rounds, honey, for the title of the Ultimate Culturista.
Yes, there will be a $100 cash prize. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some things you could do with $100, Bowen?
Oh, I think you could pay for a Spirit Airlines ticket to Tacoma.
I think that that's a pretty reasonable thing
that's
you
like,
could
that's
pay.
Like a standard
fare. I was going to say a Con Ed bill.
Oh, yeah.
I think someone, whoever wins Culture War, will be paying their Con Ed bill, and they'll also be bringing glory and victory to either Team Matt or Team Bowen. You will find out which team wins on November 7th at 8:30 p.m. This is for New York Comedy Festival, people, and tickets are on sale now. We're doing it at Villain in Brooklyn. We're very excited. November 7th, 8:30. It's a Tuesday. New York Comedy Festival, Brooklyn. Villain is the space.
And you know what? November 7th, 2017 is Election Day, and I would say that this election is more important than anything else that's happening in the country.
Yes, I agree. Now, if you can't make November 7th, if that's not something you can make work,
then you can come to the beautiful, more positive, more cathartic
far
experience.
Far more jovial night.
The proven quantity of our I Don't Think So, Honey live show, this time at the Bell House. We're so excited to be performing there. We're going to have 50 brand new comedians doing their I Don't Think So, Honeys as we record them, as we introduce their stunningly, stunningly incisive attacks to the world. And yes. It's going to be so fun, so fun.
Got some amazing comics lined up for it. We'll be announcing that very soon.
And it's at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival.
Podcast Festival.
On November 18th at 10 p.m., honey.
Yes, at the Bell House. Very excited about that. So again, that's November 7th, Culture War, and I Don't Think So, Honey Deathmatch as part of New York Comedy Festival.
And November 18th, I Don't Think So, Honey Live at 10 o'clock at the Bell House as part of the Brooklyn Podcast Festival.
So there you go, people. Two options, and we'll find out who can really serve Kulch.
It's getting colder
in here.
Okay, we're back with Joel. Now, before we get back to Joel.
No, don't cut. No. All right, let me tell you something. He should not win Culture War.
We're not using
yes,
any
we are.
Of
yes,
this.
We are. Now,
no.
Do what you want to do.
This is not fair. Every other fucking week, you come in with some request to cut something out of the episode for some unseemly thing that you say.
How dare you rip off my lingerie?
You need me. I need to retake that. Fine, keep it. Keep it. Because this is the real. This is cinema very fucking Tay. Okay. Here we go.
I don't think he used that right at all.
Cinema very Tay?
Yeah. No, he did.
Okay,
I did.
Okay, sure.
So somebody knows his words.
So
I
don't know my heart, but I know my words. Okay, you guys.
Yeah, I'm really sad for you.
Before we
that.
Get back to Joel, I honestly don't know where
we're
to
keeping
start
it.
Again.
Read it.
I think this is part of the charm. I think people this.
Yeah, sure.
They fucking love it. Those
they fucking
people
eat it up.
They eat it up.
So, really funny story. A couple weeks ago, we had a contest for whoever left the 100th review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts.
Ooh.
And wouldn't you know it, a lot of reviews came in, but we have a winner, and I think it's not one, but two, because this is two separate drafts of the same review by two different usernames, but with two slightly different titles.
Someone's gaming the system.
Someone's a bot.
Someone's a bot, or someone's trying to game this. I think someone was trying to cheat. The prize was, by the way, to, quote, have their tapestry of words read aloud on the podcast, which is what we're doing right now. So first review
is
from user Make Las Culturistas Biweekly. Title, yes, capital Y, and that'll be important in a moment. 5 stars. I don't think so, honey, people who work out to anything other than the sounds of this podcast. There is a reason why the IDTSH is exactly 1 minute per person, and it's just for your planking convenience. I started running on Wednesday mornings just so I could spend some time with Matt and Bowen and Prospect Park, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Definitely the number one podcast this year. Now, the next review by Culch Queen. Yes, lowercase y. Already different, but sort of similar. I don't think so, honey. People who work out to anything other than the sounds of this podcast. There is a reason why the IDTSH is exactly 1 minute per person, and it's for your planking convenience, hunty. I started running on Wednesday mornings just to have quality time with Matt, Bowen, and an empty Prospect Park, and now I'm fit and well-versed in all things culture. So, those are two very similarly worded reviews.
What a little freak.
I think it had to be... They were on their one user.
Yes. They wanted to buy two raffle tickets.
No, I think what happened was...
Oh, here it comes.
A, maybe they wanted a bigger chance of winning to be the 100.
Yep.
And guess what they did? Or they clicked post and something happened.
Okay.
And they questioned whether or not it was posted.
I think that's exactly
what
probably
they did
the
was
most likely.
They went on their other user.
But why wouldn't you?
And what they did was they said, well, I guess this is my second crack at it. And they made it more specific.
I think the iTunes, I see that. I'm in their mind. I have done a similar situation.
Absolutely.
It's like a tweet that like doesn't post and you're like, oh, now I have an opportunity to make it better.
Yes.
And so I think that's what they did here. But I also will say, I think iTunes is unyieldy. I don't know. The interface is hard.
It's so hard to
understand.
Use.
I just find it really suspect that they created two separate
that
accounts.
That is damning.
And usernames specifically for the podcast.
That is damning.
Culch Queen versus Make Las Culturistas by Weekly.
But maybe
so
they
what
thought,
are you saying?
Maybe they thought the first one didn't create, and so again they did sort of. I don't know. You're
what
right.
Are you
I don't
saying?
Know. I don't know who to believe.
I think there's a vast
conspiracy.
To
welcome to InfoWars
to leech. To leech our creative intellectual real estate, to leech off of that. And so I think there's something going on out there. Okay, we're back with Joel. Now, Joel, during the break, you just told us that you just saw
Come From Away.
On Broadway.
Yes, my agent said you can see anything. Well, I'll buy you tickets to anything on Broadway, baby. She opened the gate.
Oh, my
she
God.
She opened the gate, and she said, tell me what you want to see, and we'll see it. And I said...
You didn't say Hamilton?
No, I said... Because I saw it, bitch.
Okay.
I would
I
see
saw
it twice. I like
saw
Hamilton.
It original cast. I don't need to see anybody else spit those words.
Okay.
No, but I looked at the list of Broadway shows currently playing of the things that I had not seen, and I said, baby, bring me to Come From Away. Give me that 9/11 porn.
And how did you like?
I loved it. I sobbed throughout it. And okay. I did. I went in not really wanting to like it. I kind of went because I was like, this is a free ticket. I'm not spending my own money, so I'll see something I can make fun of later.
Right, right, right.
And I
That's
loved
That's amazing.
It.
Now, tell someone who does not know what the play is, such as me.
Wow.
Guys, very uncultured when it comes to theater. Tell me.
It is about, so on 9/11, all the planes got grounded, of course.
Right.
As you might remember.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And so they all got grounded. And so a lot of them got grounded at a very large airport in Newfoundland in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just basically the play is it's an ensemble, multiple people playing multiple roles, sort of tracking real life stories, some composites and some actual like real people of this week that these people were basically trapped in Newfoundland, like an entire day they spent basically on the tarmac in these planes. And it's a story, it's a convergence of the people who were on the planes from all over the world who were grounded and trapped and didn't know what was going on, were obviously terrified. And then the town that sort of comes together to support them in this time. And then, you know, and now... There's a storyline where these two, one guy from London who's a businessman who's sort of an uptight guy and this woman from Dallas end up meeting on trapped on this plane, and then they fall in love and get married, and that's a real life story.
Really?
And then one of the women was the first one of the pilots was the first female commercial airline pilot ever on the thing, and she, oh my God, I don't know the actress's name.
Is it Jen Colella?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and she was nominated for a Tony. I didn't watch the Tonys this last year, but damn, she is an incredible voice.
I saw her in, you know what I saw her in? If Then.
Oh.
She
seems like she probably lost a lot of roles to Sutton Foster, or she seems within that type and certainly within that vocal range, but just like...
She's fucking amazing.
One of the best voices I've heard live. Incredible. And it is...
I can't believe my plane got delayed. Is it like that?
It's exactly like...
We're never
uncanny.
Getting back to America. We're here in Newfoundland and we found... each other and we are getting married, but we're never getting back on our plane.
Oh my God. Producer Joe, can you turn off the soundtrack to Come From Away?
Yeah, why is it
so inappropriate?
Very distracting.
We're going
to
have
people.
A rights issue. He just mimed. he mimed going over to for the controls.
Us, for our benefit. No, it was fantastic. It is like the Laramie Project music.
Oh, yeah,
sort of
sure.
A very docu play thing. It is meant in 10 years it will be done at colleges and in high schools all over the country.
Unlike
it
the
is.
Laramie Project. Come From Away is necessary.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding.
Holy God.
Stop. It's obviously a joke.
You're not building up the credit going into this competition.
Oh, okay. No.
I will say this. It is meant for high schools and musicals. It's sort of, I don't understand the point. It will be very interesting. It's weird for me to think about it being done by high school students who weren't alive during 9/11.
Oh,
because for
sure.
me, it was very...
Guess what? That's now all high school students.
I succumbed to the sort of nutness. I actually do feel like it was less a tragedy porn than I thought it would be, because it is it is much less about 9/11 and more about this specific experience.
Sure.
Which I was impressed by. They don't go into a lot of like, they don't feel the need to explain 9/11 to you.
Yeah.
Like they don't talk down to the audience in that way. They sort of like, okay, everybody coming in to see this show knows what fucking 9/11 is. Yeah. We don't need to explain it. This is a very unique experience. So, like, there's like a subplot about all the animals that are trapped on this plane and the sort of the difficulty of like, how do you take care of these animals when nobody will let them into the baggage claim because, you know, they think there could be bombs. And like, there's a very sort of subtle... there's a Muslim character, and that's actually where I lost it, where they're like letting them off the plane finally, and they like sort of don't know if they should let him into the town. And
Oh my God.
It's devastating. But yeah, so I thought like it was less tragedy porn than I expected it to be going in, but it is definitely still that. And I tried to listen to the soundtrack afterwards. Other than Jen's song, the female airline pilot song, there isn't an earworm in the soundtrack, I won't say.
The song that Joe just played for us was Hook City.
Hook City.
Should he play it again?
Yeah.
Could you play it just one more time?
I can't believe my plane got delayed. We're sitting here on the tarmac, and we're never gonna find our way home. But we found each other. We found
and the whole chorus.
So wait, what was that? It was found
Just a vowel?
Sometimes you can just do a vowel.
Can I tell you guys, I was in Tesla today.
Wait, you were where?
Tesla, Bernie Tesla's office.
Oh, Telsey.
Telsey? Telsey,
wow. Who is?
Bernie Telsey, cast Legally Blonde. That's all I know.
He is, it's a casting office in New York.
Wow, I can't believe... Thank God I didn't. I've never met this man because I've been telling people I've been going to Tesla all day. Telsey.
Wait, why were you there? Audition?
I was just, I had an audition. And there's multiple rooms. There's because they're casting 1,000 goddamn things.
It's a musical theater nightmare.
And this boy went in. I was in this waiting, I was in part of the waiting room with literally the entire cast of Orange is the New Black waiting to go in for some play. And I was waiting to go in for a movie. Yes, I am auditioning for movies. And
wow.
And there was a musical, I think it was, I actually do think it was Hamilton. I think they were sort of casting, like, you know, they're doing a rolling casting process for Hamilton. And this boy sang Let It Go.
No.
Let It Go in his, and then he sang it once, and they asked him to sing it again, and he sang it in his head voice.
The
second time.
But he
and
did
he
belt
sang,
it once.
He sang, yeah, and
he
it
wants
was not
to show
good.
Them, he
and
wants to show them
the times. I was shocked. We were all shocked. Collectively, it was actually a lovely moment between me and the cast of Orange is the New Black sitting there listening to this, because we all were shocked that he was asked to sing it again.
Wait, were there actual cast members from Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, there were.
Recognized?
There were like, like three guards from Orange is the New Black were sitting in this waiting room with me. And, no, and I could not believe, who the fuck are you? There are 1,000 people who want to get in the door to audition for this musical, and you're bringing in fucking let it go.
No, I applaud him.
I think
he's a villain. He's a goddamn villain. Get people back to fucking Michigan where you belong.
People that do that, I think, are they think they're being subversive. They mm-hmm. think they're like, I'm going to bring in Let It Go, and it's actually going to be good, and that's going to really set me apart. Because they're going to be thinking, oh, he brought in Let It Go, I roll, but then it's going to be good. And really, it's just like, no, you brought in Let It Go.
He brought in Let It Go. And here's the thing, too. He was bad. If he had slayed, I probably would be in here thinking, telling you an inspiring story. But I honestly feel like they heard him sing Let It Go poorly once, and then as a joke, as a prank, they said, now try it in your head voice.
Fine. What song would you have sung? Come on, let's do this.
I went to Telsey one time and auditioned for Nerds the Musical.
Oh.
And I was there with Dave Mazzoni and Matteo Lane.
Uh-huh.
And I sang Sunday Morning by Maroon 5. Not appropriate. Dave sang Amazed by Lone Star. Oof. Not appropriate.
And
Matteo Lane sang The Wizard and I. Not appropriate.
So the point, and Joel, what about you? But already the point is, we're not much better than this Let It Go
boy.
No,
we're not musical theater actors. Did he sound like he did this?
I don't know. I mean, he had the arch in his back, if you know what I mean, when he walked out.
Yeah, 100%.
And so I could tell he had a BFA under his belt, but...
He had the arch in his back.
He had an arch in his back that suggested he had a BFA in musical theater from Elon University.
Elon.
But no, famously, when I was in undergrad for theater, I sang the same song for 3 semesters running at our unified audition.
Which was?
Purpose from Avenue Q.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, great little cut from Purpose. And I sang it at every professional unified audition, and it got me 2 jobs in musical theater.
There you go. She's a booker. She's a booker, though.
They were both Thoroughly Modern Millie.
What would you sing?
Bang Bang.
I would sing Bang Bang by Nancy Sinatra as interpreted by Lady Gaga during the Cheek to Cheek tour. But also, I would sing Just Around the River Bend, Bitch. And yeah, also another basic Disney song, but... if it works, it works. No, I don't fucking know. I don't go in for musical theater, and rightfully so.
Same.
I mean, me neither. I think I like
don't
auditioning.
Try and put yourself on our level. We're trash and you're a singer.
No, I'm not a singer. I'm
not a singer, Matt Rogers. You heard it here first.
I'm not a singer.
I'm not a singer. But you know who is? Jen Colella. Play
Hit
that
the track.
I can't believe my plane got delayed. We'll never get off this tarmac. I know I won't find my way home, but I found a husband hero.
Will they let the animals off the plane? No, look, what is that interval? Okay, hold on.
I can't believe this plane got delayed.
The interval from got to delayed was got delayed.
Now, I will say,
always make fun and criticize.
I'm not criticizing.
My intervals.
They're not your intervals. Come from a ways intervals.
Come from a ways.
We just heard right. 3 separate verses from the same song.
It's Jen Colella.
Slightly different.
It has 2 different reprises.
Yeah, but no, I've heard both of you sing live many times when we go to piano bars in and around New York City. You can find us there, and I am constantly impressed with both Matt, but also Bowen. You have one of the most technically proficient voices. I think you have
that
pitch.
That is untrue.
Your resonance is
and
out of control.
Here's the thing: not a lot of people. A part about singing that a lot of people don't talk about enough is memory. And yeah. Bowen has. I once saw Bowen sing "Giants in the Sky,"
yep.
A difficult song. Sondheim is not an easy song. Like any Sondheim song is not easy
to be
sing.
Fair, that's one of the easier Sondheim songs, though. Anyway, keep going.
Bowen never looks at his phone. Bowen never looks at lyrics. Bowen knows all these songs by heart. I'm so afraid to sing in front of people that I can't look anybody in the eye. I have to look at my phone. Most of the time, I can remember lyrics because, again, the 3 parts of singing are memory.
Resonance.
Resonance
and pitch.
And pitch. And I know memory. Yes. Memory is the part, one of the three parts of singing that I'm good at.
Yes.
And I still, I get so afraid I have to look at music because I don't want to look at anybody in the
eye. I pull out my little cell phone.
And I've been paid twice in my life on a professional level to sing in front of people live. And I still, when I have to sing in front of people in casual settings, I get very nervous.
It's because casual is different than professional. When it's professional, you're prepared for it.
Yeah, and I know, like, I go up here and I put it in my and I speak sing, you know, and I do a little and I act through it. I act through it.
That's the point. That's what they want to see. They want to see you perform.
Yeah. That's what I'll say. That's why I like Sondheim. You know, because it's for actors. It's not for singers.
Absolutely, and that's why they have so many actors first doing the movie musicals.
And that's.
Like Emily Blunt.
I saw Into the Woods in the Park in 2012 with Amy Adams.
Yeah, how'd that go?
And here's the thing. She did the reverse Jennifer Hudson. And Jennifer Hudson only begins to act when she starts to sing. And Amy Adams completely stopped acting when she began to sing. Because you could tell she, like me, she had memory, but she was nervous about the other two.
Yeah.
And she stopped acting. And that's a problematic thing to do in a Sondheim musical because, once again, it's mostly singing and it's a lot of acting.
Yeah, on stage.
Well, and I did see it one of the nights that Sondheim was in the audience. And so imagine being
nervous.
That's got to be horrifying.
So nervous.
Who'd she play, the baker's wife?
She played the baker's wife. I saw it with a friend who is an idiot, and he asked at the end of the show, at intermission, he said, because Glenn Close did the voice of the baker,
of the giant's wife.
And he said, do you think she's back there right now? And I said, no, friend, I don't think that Glenn Close comes, shows up to set, and sits backstage on a god mic and does her lines and acts opposite these people.
Dennis O'Hare was in that too, right?
I thought he was great. People hated him, but I liked him a lot. Mostly because I appreciate the acting more than the singing. And Jesse Mueller, Chicago friend.
Oh, Cinderella.
I almost said Chicago friend, but she's not a friend.
She could be.
She is an acquaintance at best. And
I bet she's lovely.
Oh, she's very nice. I've met her at least twice in Chicago, and she's very kind. And her family is like Chicago royalty. They're all the Muellers are extremely talented, cool Christians.
Mm-hmm. Cool, you know, Christians. Hillsong Christians.
But cool, you know, cool, obviously, because they all work in the theater. They have to be cool with gay people. And I saw her brother was in Sidetrack, a great gay bar in Chicago, watched his sister win a Tony and cried in Sidetrack, and I saw it happen.
Oh,
he's gay.
No.
But he was just in a gay bar.
It's a good place to watch the Tonys.
That's suspect to me.
Hey, we're not here to do that today.
You're not. We're here to talk about Model Minority.
Model Minority.
The album by Joel Kim Booster.
That's my album.
Now, listen, it's out on November 4th?
Third.
But you can get it on November 4th because it'll have been released the day
before. You're not trying to wrap this shit up. I have more to say.
No. I just want to talk about the album.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that we talk about the album.
We want to talk about the album and the half hour, but the album is the centerpiece. The album is what this is
all
leading up to.
I want to talk about the album because you know what was I thought when I was listening to the album? I thought this will be something that I would have enjoyed very much in high school.
100%.
I was down there, like, not saying that you need to be of
could have been shady, but I understood.
I'm saying I could have been
shady. If I were in high school, I would have loved this. But
you
now,
someone with
like
a 15-year-old emotional intelligence, this would really kill. No, what I meant was, like, that was the first time I can remember becoming, like, really into a comedy album.
Looking, really just trying to desperately grasp at your role models.
Yeah, there were so many. It took me back to that place in a way that I remembered being that age and, like, discovering all the Margaret Cho albums and, like, you know, I really loved Sandra Bernhardt and, like, it gave me the feeling of, wow, I could listen to this album a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way.
Yeah, but you can't say anything original about it? Say your original.
Say something original about the taping.
Glowing take okay. about
say
Joel
say
and his
about
work.
My album.
Here you go. This is someone who has had such a textured life.
Look at him in his eyes.
No. Because this is a scholarly academic assessment. No, this is here's the thing. In all seriousness, it's an amazing album because Joel has an amazing story and he's able to speak from, and sorry to get all identity politicky, he's able to speak from this queer Asian perspective, but it's also it also is just sort of textured and framed by all these other amazing things that, like, are so specific to him and no one else can talk about, and it's one, amazing on a experiential life experience storytelling level, but two, it's just filled with jokes, baby. And it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I would like to hit that it is filled with jokes.
Yeah.
I wrote many jokes.
It's filled with jokes.
It's filled with jokes.
Guys,
I listened to it the whole way through both nights and enjoyed myself both times.
I loved it.
So what I'm saying is it has a replay value, bitch.
But here, this is one of Joel's strengths as a stand-up. He is a master at crowd work, and he had two very different nights of crowd work.
Well, and here's the here's a little little secret in behind peek behind the curtain, if you will,
okay.
About this is I listened to both nights and I went to Comedy Central and I said I love both these nights of crowd work. Can we stitch it together and make it sound like one night? And they're
oh, he's dying.
And I said. And they said, not for all of it, but there is, I like to interrogate people about, I think there's a part in the show where I talk to couples specifically, yes. I interview couples, and straight men, and both of those, we were able to stitch together, and it sounds seamless. It actually, they did a really good job of making it sound like I just jumped from, and I just did two couples.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say that it seems seamless in that it feels like it's the same straight guy.
No. Okay. It is just like, it sounds like I'm like, okay, I'm done talking to you, and now I'm going to go over here and talk to some
That's
other people.
That's brilliant.
Because I come from a place of, the imposter syndrome. I don't like to talk myself up, but I will say one thing that I do feel very confident about my comedic abilities is crowd work, and I love doing it, and I am very proud of that aspect of the album.
Not everyone is good at that.
I don't love it.
I don't love crowd
not
work.
That I do stand up, but like no. You know, like I enjoy an audience's energy, but if someone were to like I've never this actually is true, I've never been heckled, and I feel like if I ever were to be, that would really throw me off.
But Joel is just so good at, first of all, he's just so quick, but second of all,
yeah, very smart.
With any kind of person, he knows how to just tailor his response to things and his line of questioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say to a kind of person that was like really tall?
Okay.
Okay, so imagine they're like 7 foot tall.
I love that, yeah.
And they start to say loudly to their girlfriend, when's the next comic? What would you say to that 7 foot tall person?
And that's the only thing.
Imagine this. I am the comic, and Bowen is my girlfriend, who's a normal height.
Okay.
You're the comic or you're the guy?
No, I'm the guy. Yeah. Hey, when's the next comic?
Hey. I don't know what's going on up where you are, buddy, but down here we're having a comedy show.
Honestly, yeah.
That shut me right up.
I liked it. It made me laugh and so self-conscious about my height, but in a way that it was inviting.
You know, I love to go to an absurd place as though there's something different happening up there.
Yeah.
Up there? What am I talking about up there?
That is true because what truth in comedy?
True blue.
Guys, I'm really jet lagged, and so I'm not really giving my all right now. Like intellectually, I'm just I just want to one up Joel's inferiority complex. I don't think I'm just giving the listeners what they want. And
I think as a listener
this
myself.
This is crazy.
As someone who's been sitting here as both a guest and a listener, I can say that you're giving me everything I wanted.
That's so crazy for you to interrupt an amazing moment.
No, I want to make this about me. First of all, I haven't had time to talk about my trip.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say, let's turn it to, because I've come back from Australia before, and it's tough. I can't believe you're even standing up right now.
And this is the first time Joel and I have seen each other in many, many weeks, and I texted you this while I was in New Zealand. I go, let me see if I can pull up. No, it doesn't matter.
No, pull it up. I want you to.
I
know what you're talking
about.
I
was getting like a bunch of messages on the apps.
The gay dating and sexual apps.
Gay apps. And I did not act on any of them. So
why?
Yang, my sister, if you're listening to this, don't worry. I was just with my parents the whole time. I would have rather, because she probably would have like had a conniption. Anyway.
Relax.
No, it's fine. Hi, Yang. What did I text Joel? But anyway, I was just going to say, people down there are much more receptive. to Asians on the apps, and it's maybe because there's a bunch of them around.
I think it's a growing up around.
It's a growing up around them thing. It's like, oh yeah, this is like, these are most, this is like billions of people in the world are Asian.
I will say, I think attraction to Asian men or not attraction to Asian men. The guys who are attracted to Asian men, it's either a reaction to not growing up
Yes.
or not experiencing them as a young person and sort of the exoticism of us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or it's a chill sort of, oh yeah, I grew up around Asian people. You're just regular human beings.
I've been
me.
Inoculated.
Been fucking them since I was a child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I said, OMG, was not expecting this, but New Zealand is a rice queen / Asian paradise for both. Like, both sides benefit. And then Joel responded, OMG, Australia sort of was, but maybe NZ is better.
Well, you know, NZ, New Zealand goddess, you know, famously dated that Asian man.
Lord.
And who
right.
I've yes. been following around the country is a great concert, I suggest.
Oh, yeah, you haven't. You've been to multiple Lord concerts.
Wait, seriously?
I have been to 2 Lord concerts in the last 3 months.
How is she live?
She's fantastic live. She is still a teenager, and that comes out in that she likes to over-explain the song sometimes. So she's like,
sure.
This is melodrama. This is what it means to me. And that's all you're going to get. And it's like, okay, we get it. But she does cool things. Like, I was so concerned about her in Seattle. Her shoes were untied on stage, and I was like screaming at her.
No.
I was very close to the stage, and I was like, your shoes are untied. And she looked down, noticed that her shoes were untied, took them off, and gave them to a teen girl in the audience.
You could have saved her life.
That girl doesn't have shoes. I know it. I gave her my shoes. This is melodrama.
Your accents are... First of all, I just want to say, I wanted to tweet this out, but I just didn't feel like it would read.
Ooh, exclusive content.
Everyone, you know how people just like default to an Australian accent as like a bit? I feel, and I just want to say, everyone's nailing it. So accurate.
No. That's a funny tweet.
No.
But you should do it.
You know what? Maybe I will, but I just wanted to workshop it here. But yeah, I mean,
I can't believe you didn't indulge, because I love going to the West Coast. I love going to the Pacific Northwest. I famously told you Seattle is also a great place.
Oh.
Seattle changed the way I looked at my own body.
Okay, wait. Okay, explain this. Just because people were like,
because
into
I
it?
Had sex with a literal gymnast, and I said, you know what, this is what I deserve.
Yes,
and it's ruined me for men in New York, because now I would say about 60% of the men I've had sex with in over my lifetime I have not been attracted to, and I've just had sex with because
yes.
I felt like it's what I deserve
in New York specifically.
What?
In my entire life.
Entire life.
Since I started having sex, and now I say no, and I say I'm gonna hold out for a fucking Russian gymnast who might be trying to pump me for information about the States.
There you go. But
was it fun? Yes.
It's ultimately a scarcity problem, though, because like had all these messages over there, and then literally yesterday, as I fly back in, open up my apps, leave my traps on overnight, wake up the next morning, nothing, and
yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I'm used to, and it's stupid. Anyway, but you know,
doesn't
what?
It feel great to feel hot though?
Because that's what it is. I had this whole bit going where I was like, I'm hot bowing down here, and it actually was because
it's
I was getting that
positive
feedback.
It's terrifying how the apps affect your self-esteem, and I should get off them. You know, I bought Tinder Goals.
So did I.
We talked about this, and the draw is that you get to see who's already swiped right on you. And I thought, wow, what? I want to see that. I want to see
who I've
been neglecting.
Who your markets are.
And it is 300 men that I am deeply not attracted
and
to.
We talked about this before I left, because I think we had both activated this, and you were like, not one. You were like, you asked me, like, do you have one conventionally attractive person in your likes already? And I was like, nope.
No.
But then down there,
everybody.
Gorgeous.
Everybody.
Men. And I was like, God, this is...
It is such a strange, like, the Venn diagram of men that I'm attracted to and who are also attracted to me is a very slim margin in this city.
But it's a regional thing, and that's
even worse. I honestly left Seattle being like, I should live here just for the sake of fucking these gymnasts.
I will say that I left Sydney being like, I should just come back on my own and have like
a sexual
fuck vacation.
Yeah, walkabout.
Yeah, exactly.
A sexual walkabout. That's the title. Sexual walkabout. Write it down, HPJ.
The three of us are all very single right now. It's officially cuffing season.
Oh God!
So guess what?
I'm so lonely.
That's what I realized when I flew back in yesterday. I was like,
I was talking about that before.
I was watching Edge of 17 on the plane, which some people were saying was like the new Mean Girls.
I like it.
I thought it was. Nice.
I don't. I heard you say on the last pod that it was. Maybe in that pantheon.
Spiritual successor.
And
I don't think so. Yeah,
no,
but
it's not. We would have been hearing more about it if it
Asian
was.
Romantic lead.
Yes.
He was very nice and very hot.
And also a good depiction, I think, of just being a teenager.
Yes.
They
were
all terrible and unlikable.
And
that's very real.
And Haley turned out a great performance.
I prefer Haley as an actor.
She's very talented.
Yeah, me too.
I wish she would just stay in her lane.
I don't
need her. It's her people making her do it.
I don't need her singing heartbeat song or whatever.
I don't think it's her people. I think she genuinely, like, after she hung out with Taylor Swift one night, was like, oh, I want to go to the VMAs every year.
All of her songs are like, everybody's doing blow, but I've got my headphones on.
Love Touch Myself.
She sounds like the worst person at a party.
Myself? No, I don't need anybody.
I wish she would admit that is about masturbation.
She hasn't admitted it.
She actually is point blank.
Oh, Love
refused,
Myself.
Refused to admit that it's about masturbation, and it's so clearly about masturbation, and I wish she would just own that.
See, and just getting back to Lorde, as precocious and like Dakota Fanning-esque as she is.
She's so smart.
And like on talk shows, like she was able to go on The Tonight Show and make that an engaging interview with Jimmy
Fallon.
She's very articulate. So charming, so funny. And like that was right when like it came out that she had this secret onion ring Instagram account where she reviews onion rings. And she was just so like perfectly like embarrassed by it, but also like, but no, I love onion rings. Like, oh wait, you're like a cool person. I don't know. I love Lorde too. And the new album,
I think it was one of the best pop albums.
But people were only listening to it for like a week, and then like they moved on to like fucking, I don't know.
I'm listening to Demi Lovato's album right now, and I'm whopping it.
No, because listen, she has a song on it called
Daddy Issues.
And
lucky for you, I got all these daddy issues.
And it's such a good
producer, Joe, please turn off the spot. We can't keep
listening forward.
I'm going crazy when I'm with you.
And see that crack? That's classic Demi.
Classic Demi. And that interval is classic Demi. But look, such a good hook on that song, but it's such an uncomfortable lyric.
It is uncomfortable. And actually, the other day, my Spotify was acting up, and for some reason, the song was gone from the synced album, and I was like, oh my God, someone had a problem with it, and she had to take it off the album. But then it was just my Spotify being a little fucka.
But you know what? I think this is a great opportunity. A couple episodes ago, Mike Kelton introduced us to Maggie Rogers. And then we've been hooked on her.
I am hooked on her because of that podcast, too. She's
really
so fantastic.
So good.
She's really good.
And I think she listened to either the full episode or a snippet of it where we talked about her, where Kelton talked about her. But she's fantastic. Go check her out. She tweeted us that she had a giggle fit. Listening to us. Maggie, we love you. And here's some other divas that I want to shout out really quickly. Julia Michaels, she has a little EP out called Nervous System.
She was on the VMAs.
She was in the VMAs, and she had, right, where they did the whole like new artist thing, and cut them off.
They cut her off, and you know who angrily tweeted?
Who?
Adam Levine.
And I stand famously for Adam.
I fucking love Adam Levine.
Are you watching The Voice this year?
Oh, of course. And I think Jennifer is doing such a fantastic
Jennifer
job.
Is
She's
phenomenal.
Come alive on The Voice in a way that we've never, never seen her.
Never seen the personality like this.
I love it. And I love her music. I love J-Hud, her last album. And I just rediscovered it at the airport months ago, and it was so good. It's still so good. It still holds up.
Yeah, there's a lot of good Jennifer Hudson music.
Such good gems. But Julia Michaels, guys, check her out. She's got a song called Make It Up To You. It's so good. And then, you know, just divas popping up everywhere. Divas, I love divas.
Okay.
Guys, jet lagged. I'm
losing
my mind.
You wanted to shout out some divas and said one diva, and then
said
Julia
Michaels.
I love divas.
God, because I'm
You
going
said
crazy.
Divas, I love divas.
Wait, can we cut that out?
No.
Nope.
No, that's
Shakespeare.
So unfair.
Divas, I love divas. That's a real moment for you.
This is such a double standard. Like, I say something, whatever.
What are you about to say?
I say something that is just, you know, not a graceful sequence of words, and I just, you know, for my own
as compared to who,
as compared to you, and you,
that's because I landed.
You have to
this
self-edit.
Is such a classic dynamic that you two have. I said I texted you early in your podcasting careers. I said you two are the Mary and Martha of podcasting.
And then I thought it was like a biblical reference.
It is a biblical reference.
Oh, no, no, no. First, I thought it was like a radio, like a talk radio.
I thought it was Mary Tyler Moore and some lady named Martha on that show.
It's from the fucking Bible,
Can you talk to us? Because you are, of course, a Bible scholar.
Mary and Martha, there's this famous story of Jesus was going to go to Mary and Martha's house. And
Who is Martha?
She's just a lady. She's just a broad.
All right.
And I will get them mixed up because it has been a while. But I believe Mary is like, I'm just going to chill and I'm going to talk to Jesus. This is fun. And Martha's like, no, we got to get the house ready. We got to like prepare. This is a celebrity. This is a person. I want to make this an event. I don't want this to just be us sitting around and talking out of our assholes.
This is Mary Magdalene?
No, this is a different Mary. There's a lot of Marys.
And not even the Mary, the mother. Okay.
No. Okay. This is a completely unrelated Mary.
A third.
Yeah.
A third Mary.
And so... And then Jesus is like, Martha, actually, Mary, your girl Mary had it right.
Ah,
I don't care about the place settings. I want to talk to you.
Wow, so I was right.
And that's where the comparison goes awry, I think. But I think
I don't think so, Joel. I think it's good because there's the Bible.
Yeah,
because
I think Bowen is
the Bible. Tells me so.
But no, in the end, okay, so, and I misquoted Joel later on by saying that Joel called Matt the bull in the china shop and I was the shopkeep.
Which is, again, I think a fair...
Because I think Matt just like wreaks havoc.
Picture.
We are a song of ice and fire.
Yeah.
And
that is very true.
Joel will have to decide.
And I'm going to be very fair.
I don't know if that's, but see, I don't know if that is possible anymore because you have.
Because you've self-sabotaged your own team.
Absolutely.
Your decisions are your decisions.
No.
If he's going to be unbiased, it's going to be because of things that you did. So cease.
Anything prior to the show, which is on November 7th. The day after my birthday.
I don't care about that, and neither does anyone. Let's just say that.
One
year older.
Okay, so I don't think anything prior to the show should be taken into account in the judging. That's all.
I won't be. Don't worry, it won't be.
But it seems like.
Don't
it's,
worry about it.
The waters are muddy.
Don't worry about it.
You.
It won't be.
You know, I just can't imagine being you.
Don't bring shit into my room if you don't want me to put it on my bed.
Thank you. That was very Rajian.
Very Rajian.
Don't bring shit into my room if you don't think I'm going to put it on my bed.
Just these senseless aphorisms.
But can you refute it? Can you?
Okay. Give me a second. Give me a second.
This is a podcast. Do you think people want to hear dead air while you think?
If you don't want me to bring shit into your room.
No.
You better house train me because I am a dog.
What?
That makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
I'm so jet lagged.
Wow,
talk
you're,
about nonsense.
I don't know.
I haven't. Oh my god.
All I'm gonna say.
I'm so lonely.
All I'm gonna say. November 7th at 8:30 on the stage at Villain. I will be thrashing in the waters.
But how much? How involved are you in these? Aren't I judging Pat Regan and Chrissy Shackelford?
Yes,
and
absolutely. I think that we're just gonna be truly merely figureheads for our team. Perhaps there will be an I Don't Think So Honey up top between us to find out whose
the
team will go
toss,
first or
yeah,
second.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love some behind the scenes coaching, you know?
I would
if you could do the production values up it a little bit, maybe yeah. give us a
I will be working
scenes.
With my girls. I will be working with
yes.
my girls.
And I will be working with my mix of genders, not even just two. So I just
wow,
wanna...
that seems like
I don't know. You just like really gendered it, so you sort
yeah,
of
you brought the, that to the
you
table.
Sort of drew first blood.
Everyone is my girls.
Okay, well, I just want to say that.
Wow, actually, now I think I'm going to be pre. I'm going to come in.
Don't do this,
anti Matt instead of anti Bowen.
Okay. Why would you say
preconceived?
That?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I like I said, nothing should be taken into account before the show, but this is just
if
indicative.
Anything, now you're even.
Sure, and this is just indicative of Matt's, the tenor of the conversation that Matt sets. And so I just want people to be very aware of that, that I am playing by the rules here, that I am bringing in a team that is very, very, very polished and tame and will not resort to low kicks.
When Matt goes low, you go high.
I go high. And I do, this is what I meant to talk about earlier. The three of us are all very lonely. the crispness in the air makes me want companionship. So I want us to make a pact on the record.
That nobody gets a boyfriend if we all don't get boyfriends.
There you go. And it's self-fulfilling, but it still works.
Why are you pointing to me?
I'm not pointing. I'm pointing at the royal heir, the royal we. Okay? So the royal heir. Now, that's
I
the pact.
I know I'll never love again.
Okay.
I know I'll never love this way again, so I keep holding on.
Joe, you gotta turn off Spotify. You guys, the royalties on this episode alone.
Turn off this Julia Michaels track. Okay, I think it's time.
I think it's time.
I don't think so, honey.
Oh.
And this is our first...
last time I feel like this is my first true I don't think
yes,
so honey
because
last time you made me come for a fucking city.
We did locations,
and you know what,
because famously you were going to move to LA.
That was when that was happening.
Oh my god. And we had just the most basic conversation about the differences between New York and LA.
And I had to come for St. Louis, and since then I have traveled the nation.
Yes.
And I would say,
what city
retroactively
do you hate now?
I would say Phoenix is maybe the worst place I've
okay
ever been.
That's okay,
fair.
Cool. Well,
a lot of friends who went to ASU who are not friends, but high school classmates who went there.
And I bet
you
they're trash.
They're trash.
This is going to be Bone Yang's. I don't think so, honey, because he said he had one.
Well, no, that was during the break when these girls were being loud across the hall. But I want to make, okay. All right, yeah, okay.
Bone Yang's, I don't think so, honey, and his time starts... Now.
I don't think so, honey. British Commonwealth countries where you drive on the left side of the fucking road and the right side of the fucking car? Bitch, do not turn my world not upside down, but inverted? Inverted. I don't think so, honey. I almost got into many car crashes. I didn't do any of the driving. That was all my brother-in-law. God bless you, Brian. Thank you so much. Or I should say, Adonai bless you. I don't know, he's Jewish. I'm not Jewish, but I'm a mensch. I'm a goy mensch, and my sister's Jewish now, and I feel like I know some of the culture, but not all of it. So please forgive me, as this is a learning curve for me. I just want to turn this I don't think so, honey, around and just really talk about my spiritual journey and how I want to believe in God, but I don't know
15 seconds.
How to go about that. And I'm really glad and grateful that Australia was able, and the driving on the side of the road sort of led me to this place spiritually. I'm looking for a religion. If it's a cult, fine. That's a bonus. It's more organized. It's more structured.
That's 1 minute.
Okay.
What happened?
I'm jet lagged. I swear to God, and English is not my first language, need I remind you. So, you know.
The excuses are coming. The excuses
that was
are
crazy.
Coming fast and furious.
I'm so tired. I'm coming off less than 24 hours.
No, I will say, as a fellow traveler who's come back from Australia, it is the worst jet lag you can experience.
It's so bad.
It's awful. I felt insane for a week. Get ready. Buckle up, bitch.
It's wild. No, damn it. And so I'm sorry,
I'm
listeners.
Never going.
Oh, and you know what? You know what was so nice? And this isn't me just like tooting the podcast horn or anything, but went to New Zealand and fucking like a bunch of people came in with recommendations of where to go. We have a lot of Kiwi listeners. Hello, everybody. We have some Aussie listeners too.
Really?
Some great people just giving me recommendations for where to go.
International, turn up.
International smile, Katy Perry. And you know what? Shout out to Anthony in Brisbane. My birth city, he gave me so many great recommendations. He told me to go to the Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary, where Beyonce rolls every time she's in Australia, where all the drag queens from Drag Race go when they're in Australia to hold the koalas, and it was such a life-changing experience. Koalas are my new favorite animal, and I do think so, honey, koalas. And kangaroos, oh, I don't think so, honey, kangaroos, but that's for another one. That's for another episode. Kangaroos, they're dirty.
They're the deer of Australia.
They're the deer of Australia.
They're just so common. People don't give a shit about kangaroos.
They just go up and shoot them because Australia. You know why? They're overpopulated, and then if you
don't... Don't they got like three vaginas too?
Something like that. But if you don't... our tour guide was saying, if you don't kill...
Don't they got like three vaginas too?
Turn off the Spotify, Joe. Our tour guide was telling us if they don't population control the kangaroos and like straight up shoot
they're
them
like
in the
rats,
face,
they're like squirrels.
Like the populations will fucking disrupt the food chain and then they'll go extinct. It actually makes them more extinct. to let their populations go unchecked. So they have to control the populations. These are solid tongue clicks. Okay. All right, Matt, it's your turn.
Okay.
This is Matt Rogers's I Don't Think So, Honey. Hopefully his will be more cohesive than mine. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, koala bears. Yo, bitch is trying to take my place.
Oh my
I
God.
See you in the arms of my man. Get the fuck out of here, koala bears. You ain't think you so fucking cute? Little bitch, you can't fuck with Bowen. Because let me tell you something. I saw the look in his eyes and the glow in his face, and I've seen that look before. It was the first time he looked at me. He saw me at the sketch comedy show in college, and I was his koala then. And all you stupid bears, you little bears, marsupial ass bitch, get out of here. Marsupial is a made-up genus. Let me tell you something, koala bears. You're so good. Why don't you live in another continent?
15 seconds.
What? Can't make it across the ocean? Guess what, bitch? You are low in the food chain. If I ever see you, I'll kill you. I don't care that you live. I'm a human being, and I stand atop the chain. And I spit on everyone below me.
And that's 1 minute. How dare you? This is the one thing that's made me happy in a
I
long
love you,
time.
And you only belong to me,
no.
And I'm your only friend. You don't have koala friends.
This is a prison.
That's that.
I love koalas so much.
They don't know enough to love you back. Let me tell you something.
I didn't used to have a favorite animal.
You were holding that koala.
I didn't grow up with a favorite animal.
Bowen, you're back here now,
and this is
your reality. Oh. Me. There's no koalas. You have me. And now you know where you are.
I'm actually crying. I'm so emotional.
They don't exist really to you. They're not part of your world.
Oh,
I am.
No. Ugh.
I am your favorite animal.
My jailer.
This is like, I feel like I am watching something deeply upsetting transpire.
This is the power.
This is Joel Kim Booster's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey's for the past several weeks. Whatever happened to I Don't Think So, Honey being about the culture, bitch? I Don't Think So, Honey, you coming in here with I Don't Think So, Honey's about ripped jeans and some fucking bigot on the train? I Don't Think So, Honey, how was that about culture?
Oh.
Come in here and play by your own goddamn rules. I Don't Think So, Honey, you coming in here and just talking about any old thing in your day that bothers you. You created this form. You created the rules. You said something
30.
In the culture. I Don't Think So, Honey. You just coming in here and using your platform to complain about your days. These people come to this podcast to hear about culture. They want to hear an I Don't Think So, Honey about song, about dance, about acting,
seconds.
About television, about movies. I Don't Think So, Honey. You talking about egg salad, about koalas, about driving on the wrong side of the road or whatever shit you just spewed out in your I Don't Think So, Honey. I Don't Think So, Honey. The institution of I Don't Think So,
That's
Honey is being
minute.
Dragged down by you two.
That's more than enough. I want to let you know you have not
Let's
just
hear
insulted
it.
Us.
Let's
you
hear
have
it.
Insulted Joe Firestone, for it is she that discussed egg salad.
I know, and we had a great text conversation because I have eaten an egg salad sandwich in a Bolt bus bathroom because I was so ashamed to eat it on the bus.
That's a low
Bill.
Point.
How dare you come for us?
How dare you
Fuck
ever?
You.
Talking about jeans, every time I hear your goddamn stinky asses
coming
on this podcast.
Stinky ass? I have a washed ass.
Bitch, a boat couldn't dredge you from the bottom of the fucking Hudson.
Here she is.
Don't
Here
you
she is.
Fucking.
Here she is.
She's awake.
She's awake now.
Oh my God.
Talking about religion before. Not even a complaint, really. Just a request.
That was crazy.
Guys.
And you. Oh.
I am being so real and raw with our listeners, and you have seen me be so vulnerable before. And I just want to say that I wish the two people sitting next to me could let their guards down and like that.
I let my guard down on a regular basis. I tell everyone the most plain truths about myself.
You know what? I will say this, and this is true tea. The three of us are very emotionally available.
Yeah.
And
we're like gaping wounds.
Yeah.
With legs.
We're just voids. and
just gashes
with no connective tissue between the fleshy walls of our fucking
we got her back for a minute.
She's tired again.
We are just you're not just oh bitch.
I can see your blood sugar drop.
God.
You're so tired. All right, maybe we gotta go.
No, but
listen.
I don't want to end the episode
let's
with
end
Joel.
On this,
you're entering a
let's
manic
end on
episode
my plugs.
Like Joel.
Let's end on what I came here to do, which is please watch my Comedy Central special. You can check it out on the app now.
Yes.
You can pre-order my album, Metal Minority.
Out November 3rd.
Out November 3rd. And on November 4th, bitch, guess where you can come and see me and Bowen Yang. If you live in Philly, bitch, you can come to the Good Good Comedy Theater. And Matt, you can come.
What are you guys doing there?
I'm headlining Good Good, and I asked Bowen to accompany me. And guess what, bitch? It is Bowen's birthday, so I got a separate hotel rooms. You're finding this out now. Maybe I'll buy you a prostitute, maybe I won't. I don't know.
You should get a prostitute.
Get me a prostitute. I will say Philly, if we're going to talk about like regional grinder responsiveness, was like not that bad.
I'm excited to go to Philly. You guys made it sound really fun, the gay scene.
Oh, yeah.
I love that their gayberhood is called the gayberhood.
The gayberhood. Or, no, literally, not even a portmanteau. It's called gay neighborhood. Right, HPJ? Yeah, okay. HPJ can
I'm
confirm.
Excited. If you live in Philly, tell us, meet us out for Bowen's birthday.
Meet us out for Bowen's birthday. And you know what?
Head out to Philly, and maybe you too can hook up with a producer of America's Got Talent.
Like Matt did when we
went. Oh, that's right.
And you know what? It was very fun. I had the whole bed to myself. Oh, no. So it was me, Matt, Sam Taggart, and Philip Markle who shared a room. And both Matt and Philip paired off with their own locals. And so Sam and I had our beds to ourselves, and we just stayed up the whole night and talked like we were in the fifth grade at a sleepover. It was really cute. Me and Sam, that was a nice bonding moment for me and Sam.
I will cancel the second room. This sounds fun.
No, yeah. I can just come over because I probably
share
won't.
Share a prostiflute.
No, I think Philly, we're going to make this happen for both Bowen and I. But yeah. Bowen takes priority because it's his birthday weekend.
But also Joel is headlining at Good Good. And so, you know, just if you're going to be a star fucker, just do it. Do it with Joel. You know, you could do worse. You could do worse.
Matt, I really do think you should come. I don't think I can get you on the show, but I would. You should just come.
I think we need you there, Matt. We'll talk about this.
We'll talk about this off mic.
I will have every man in Philly and leave you both with nothing. And also,
oh no,
you know it.
Sexual walkabout in Philly. I think we make that competitive and bring in a third party judge. Okay, fourth party judge. Speaking of judges, Joel will judge Cultuar on November 7th. Check out his album, check out his half hour, check him out. Very soon. We won't
root
wait
for me.
Root for Joel. We won't wait very long for another cool thing
root for me.
To happen to Joel.
Please.
I'm sure of it. And meanwhile, he's just a little whimpering thing over there. What are you begging for?
I just root for me.
We root for you. We do.
I don't feel it. I don't feel
we are rooting,
we are
for,
rooting
you.
For you.
This has gone off the rails. This is a full
I think
10 minutes
we should
post.
Just say,
I don't think so. Honey.
Goodbye. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's just hear that track one more time.
Yeah, okay.
Can we hear some Come From Away?
I can't believe this plane got delayed. We'll never get back to America. And when I got deported, I found my heart with love. Oh. The new album by Jen Colella.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.